Take your Bibles this morning, open them with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a familiar passage of Scripture for many of us. And what we're attempting to do is sort of preach a series of messages based around our theme this year, which is, I desire fruit. And so we'll attempt to do that this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 and read down through verse number 4. I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. I want you to notice verse number 2 again. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And I want to bring a message this morning entitled, Out of Season. Out of Season. Let's pray together one more time. Father, thank you again for this opportunity. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that we can read it ourselves in our own language. And I pray that because we've been given that privilege, that we would, Lord, do something with it. We would implement it into our lives. I pray that it would mean something to us this morning, that people literally gave their lives so that we could hold in our hands a copy of the Word of God this morning. Thank you for that. I pray again, if there's somebody here lost, help them to get saved, help them realize their need before the day is done. And help us, Lord, that we might fall in line with your desire, that we may have fruit that would abound to our account. Help us today, in Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Verses 16 and 17 go on to say, and moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose, and for every work. Now the preacher there in Ecclesiastes, in even a lot of the vanity that he saw, came up with some very vain sayings and some very vain philosophies, even during his time. But there were some nuggets and some jewels that are sort of mined out, even of his human thinking. And this is one of those nuggets and jewels, that God will judge every work, both the righteous and the wicked. And he goes on to say that there is a time for every purpose and for every work. We think about this word season. And what does it really entail? Well, really, when we say the word season, we are really talking about a span of time, a portion of time, or a space of opportunity based upon our text passage and other passages alike. In is when that space is most opportune and convenient, as opposed to out, when it is least opportune and convenient. The terms may then be applied in many different aspects of life. From agriculture, for instance, we think about a planting season and the peak time to be able to plant certain vegetables or fruits, products that we eat and we go through. They were talking about bananas and plantains there in Ecuador. I love bananas, and obviously there's a peak season to be able to plant vegetables and fruit. And so we would look at that season and we would say it's in season for that fruit or that vegetable. And there are those times where it's out of season. You think about agriculture and you think about hunting, and there are many hunters that we have in our church, and they know even better about these types of things, about when it's in season and out of season. You have a black powder season. You have all these different seasons that they've sort of established that are better times to be able to hunt and harvest what God has allowed us to be able to have. Not only agriculture, but accounting. You think of finance and investments. And I was listening to a program even the other day talking about some things about investments and finance. And I was interested. Y'all heard about Bitcoin maybe recently. Bitcoin has sort of been bigger in the news. And heard one of the men talking about this financial opportunity called Bitcoin that probably many of us, myself included, when we heard about it early on, thought this is some sort of a game or charade. And many, many people that are in the know probably said or thought the exact same thing. And I remember hearing one of the guys talk about how if he would have made an investment of maybe $20,000 or $40,000 at the time into Bitcoin, right now he would be a multi-millionaire. The time to be able to strike in accounting, investments, and finance, in season for the time of accounting. What about athletics? We think about the season and the off season. And so there is a time that's put together even by the commissioners of sporting events, and they have figured out that this is the best time to be able to present this product. And then obviously they get the athletes involved. And so during the season is when the events go on and the real money is made. And then comes the off season. See, in all these different areas, in season, out of season. After all, we call it seasons, don't we? The seasons of the year, portions of time. We even have peak season at my part-time employer. And the company takes full advantage of the term. I mean, supply and demand really comes into place. During this last couple of months that we've had, the Christmas season, the Christmas holidays, everything gets ramped up. And I'm telling you this, the company that I work for, along with many others like it, they throw a budget seemingly out the window during peak season. I mean, they're hiring as many people as they can. They're renting vehicles. It's amazing to me the amount of money that's poured in. Overtime is really not even a thing. They want you to be there from morning to night. And the budget goes out the window. Why? Peak season. This is the time to be able to strike. Out of season. The off-season, we might call it, can take on a bad rap. In part because we're driven to move with the production that we can see. Wisdom causes us to prepare for the unseen. Now, see a couple of passages of Scripture with me. Notice, for instance, Proverbs chapter 6 for a moment. Would you turn over there with me? Proverbs chapter 6. It's relatively easy, or at least acceptable, to get excited when it's in season and jump on board. But what about when it is out of season? This is a passage that we read quite often, but I want you to notice something about this passage. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Let me ask you a question before we read a couple more of these verses. How many seasons do you see there in verse number 8? I see basically 2. So what I'm saying to you is this, even reading about this ant and the wisdom that we find when we look at the ant, there's only really 2 seasons that the ant is doing this work, providing meat and then gathering that meat. But we don't even read about wintertime or really about springtime. All that work is done, it's really in season during that time for the off season, the time when it won't be so easy to provide and to be able to gather the food. It goes on to say, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Look at Romans chapter 13 for a moment. Romans chapter 13. We're talking about out of season. Romans chapter number 13, notice verse number 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time. The Greek word is ora, or if I were to pronounce it in Espanol, we've got some Spanish speakers here this morning, I would say ora. That's the Greek word for high time. And what it's focused on is that moment in the day when the sun is highest in the sky, providing the most amount of light. That's high time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What am I talking about? Wisdom comes and it helps us, it causes us to be able to prepare for the unseen. Wisdom tends to help us when it's in season, realizing that there is coming a time when it will be out of season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you read down through those verses, and it begins to tell you there's a time to do this and a time to do that. And it seems like each one of those things has a positive and has a negative. In season and out of season. There is work to be done, a task to be completed in the off season. And our fruitfulness or lack thereof is contingent on that work. We want to focus on the off season this morning. And let me say three very simple things to you. Number one, I want you to think about this matter of the off season concerning, or out of season, concerning Christian birth. Christian birth. Now I want you to consider something. When is the best time, if we're thinking about in season, when is the best time, high time, if you will, the sun is highest in the sky, it's brightest in the sky, when is the best time for a person to be saved? To be born again? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 as we think about this question and try to figure out what God's response is to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, could I say this morning that those of us that are so very blessed to be able to sit in the middle of a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church and have fellowship the way we do and sing the songs that we do and have a Bible that we can read in our own language, there's a real danger in our midst that we simply take the grace of God for granted and ultimately receive it in vain. He says in verse number 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, have I comforted thee or drawn thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If we were to gather up testimonies all over this room this morning of when and where and what the circumstances were of the individuals here in this room when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would tell you this morning there's a varied amount of testimonies as how that came about. And what I'm saying to you is this: there may be some where you were in church and maybe even in a church service and you walked an aisle during an invitation time. That may be like the end season, what we might consider to receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. But there are probably some others where it seems like it was out of season in your life. Maybe life was hard and things were bad and you were struggling, and it seems like in that darkest of times in your life, that would have been the time when you would not have been born again. What I am saying to you is this: there is no out of season for receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. God simply says to each and every one of us, today, right now, is the time to be saved.
Amen.
If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior personally, you've been born again into the family of God. There is no off season. There is no lesser time. It's the time that God calls you, and God is calling constantly, be saved. Acts chapter 24. We think about this in these terms as we read about the testimony here. It's a sad testimony. Acts chapter 24, verse number 24. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come," think about that word judgment. We read about it there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. "Who will judge the quick and the dead in his appearing in his kingdom." Ecclesiastes chapter 3, "God will judge the righteous and God will judge the wicked." Judgment may not be a very popular theme in the preaching of this day and this hour, but judgment is a theme that runs all throughout the scriptures, and we better be prepared. As a reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Verse number 26, "He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." It seems like Felix during this time was going back to Paul and saying, "Maybe do you have some money that you can send my way, and it would allow me to be able to get you out of prison," and so on. But in verse number 27, we read these words: "But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." Now, it wasn't based upon the work of him binding Paul or releasing Paul for his salvation. But what I am saying to you is this: there never was another opportunity, a convenient season, if you will, where he was able again, that we can see, to talk with the Apostle Paul and to consider this most important matter of salvation again. It was in season for Felix right then. And if you're here this morning under the sound of the gospel, and maybe you're like Sister Leah Thompson, who testified to us during Sunday school, I knew I was lost. I had made a profession of faith. I had said the right words. I had put on the right stuff on the outside. I knew how to act the act. So many of us do, but I knew deep down inside I'm lost. And if that's you this morning and you're hearing the gospel this morning, I would say to you, don't put it off for another convenient season. Right now is your in season to be born again.
Amen.
I love it when we think about, I desire fruit that would abound to your account. I said last week that God in Christ makes that initial and all-important deposit into our spiritual bank account, allowing it to be opened, and it is a deposit that cannot be taken away once it's been applied to that account. That account is open. Once you're born again, you've got everlasting life.
Amen.
The out-of-season of Christian birth, there really is no out-of-season until the time comes that you breathe your last breath, or maybe the Spirit of God no longer speaks to your heart. Then it becomes out of season. Not only Christian birth, but I want you to consider Christian growth. Christian growth. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. Once we are born into the family of God, then the natural process is that we begin to grow in our faith, to grow in our walk, that we are walking more closely with the Lord, knowing more of Him. He knows all about us, but the goal is to know more about Him. Now that He's my Father, I get to know more about Him. That's what Christian growth is all about. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice verse number 22. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm sorry, look at 1 Peter. I wrote that down wrong. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. You were wondering where I was, like I was, where is verse number 22? 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice verse number 22. Look what it says. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now notice. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now notice chapter 2, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, the Lord begins to work, and as we grow in Him, He wants us to lay aside some things about the old man and the fleshly ways, the carnal ways of the old lifestyle. He says, laying those things aside as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Lord wants us to grow. And when is the time for Christian growth? When is it in season and out of season? When does a Christian best grow? We think of agriculture and when is the peak time to be able to plant and all of that that we've already discussed? Well, when is the time for a Christian to be able to grow? I would say that the time for growth in the Christian life is when it is in season. You say, what are you saying about that? When the times are best and they're not tough, That is the time for Christians to be able to grow. You say, what do you mean? Well, the time that we can get around one another together, times of fellowship and Sunday school and preaching the word and being able to get together and sort of, as Proverbs chapter 27, sharpen each other in the word of God. Those are the in-season times to be able to grow as a Christian. It's very hard for Christians to be able to grow. Now, I'm going to talk about out of season and living as a Christian, but it's very, very tough to be able to grow in any significant way when it's out of season. And I'm so thankful the Lord gives us these in-season times so many times in calm and peace, and the Lord is blessing, and He's working with us tenderly and patiently that we might be able to grow in Him. Notice in Psalm chapter number 1, we read this passage often and think about this also in this matter of Christian growth. And when is the best time for a Christian to be able to grow? I look around and I see Christians that really seem to struggle when times are best. I mean, you really don't have a whole lot of issues confronting you and a whole lot of adversarial circumstances and all of that. And it seems like in those times it's hard to grow. Friend, if you can't grow when it's in season, it's nearly impossible when it's out of season. Because when it's out of season is when that faith is truly tested. Psalm chapter number 1, notice verse number 1. Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Think about what we're talking about. Laying aside those things of the old life. Laying aside the lust of the eyes and the flesh and the pride of life. All of these things. Laying them aside. Getting with the right crowd and around the word of God. Around the things of God. Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. Now notice verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree. Notice now this put together. Planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, the Lord plants us in good soil, and we get around the word of God, the things of God, and the natural process of that is Christian growth in the in season. But there does come an out of season. We've looked at Christian birth and Christian growth. Let me say a third thing to you about the Christian life. And this is where really it becomes significantly difficult. This is when the out of season really strikes. Look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter number 11. The Christian life. Mark chapter number 11. Notice verse number 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. A corresponding passage says that the disciples actually watched so very quickly how that fig tree began to wither away almost immediately. Now, I've always looked at this passage and I thought to myself, why would Jesus condemn or judge this tree that doesn't have fruit when the Bible clearly tells us the time of fruit is not now? This tree is literally out of season. So why would Jesus judge it? Did Jesus do something wrong? Well, we know Jesus did nothing wrong. What I believe Jesus is doing, though, is teaching a lesson not only to the disciples and not only to Israel further, but to all of us that would read about this incident. You see, the Christian life is meant to be always fruitful. That's why he says, be instant by the word, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. The word instant just means present. Be present. In season, out of season. That means we are to be where we are supposed to be. We are to be occupying the space that God would have us to occupy in season and out of season. And just like that fig tree, it had leaves on it. I imagine it looked good. It might have even looked like it had fruit on it. But when Jesus came to eat of it, there was no fruit thereon. And Jesus makes the statement, it's good for nothing. Friend, as a Christian, once we've been born again, once the Lord has allowed us to have some growth in our lives, our purpose is so that others might be able to eat from the same tree that we ate from out of our lives. That's the Christian life. And God wants us to be fruitful in all seasons. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this morning. We're living in a day and age in our society specifically where it seems to be that Christianity is more and more out of season. Out of season. And friend, we better come to terms with the fact that God has told us we need to be instant, be present, be occupying till He comes. Both in season and out of season. That He expects there to be fruit in our lives, both when Christianity is acceptable and when it is no longer acceptable. I heard the testimony of that group of the five missionaries there that Brother Thompson, Sister Thompson spoke about this morning, and the ultimate sacrifice they paid with their lives. And that even today, there are some places and some peoples that nobody is willing to go. Are you willing to go? Am I willing to go? What if God called us and told us that's where you're to go? By the way, the writer of the book of 2 Timothy, who's giving us the charge that he gave, he is one that's sitting in prison at the time of the writing. Christianity is out of season. And what I'm saying is we'll be hard-pressed if when it's in season, we have a hard time living the Christian life and being fruitful. Oh, friend, when it comes out of season, we won't be there. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Are we not supposed to desire milk? Yes. But milk, just like it is in the life of a physical baby, is those simpler things that you need to grow. But at some point, you begin to eat meat. At some point, you begin to be strong. At some point, somebody should expect some fruit in your life, in my life. For everyone that used the milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Are you able to use the word skillfully this morning? Can you take the Bible this morning, Christian friend, and simply show somebody what God did in your life so that you might have an eternity with Him? Just that simple. Just taking the Word of God, not teaching a class or going through and be a theologian. I'm saying simply taking the Word and showing somebody how they can have an eternity with the Lord. Amen. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We spoke a little bit about that good minister last Sunday afternoon. And the good minister is to show the difference between the good and the evil. You know what a Christian does, certainly when it's out of season? He shows the difference between the good of evil, between good and evil, probably much better than he could when it's in season. You see, when everybody's going to church and everybody's professing the name of Jesus and everybody's carrying a Bible, the distinctions are very hard to come by. Matter of fact, in America, it's hard because so many still profess to be a Christian. You have to sort of dig down to figure out, what do they even mean by that? Are they talking about the Christ of the Bible? But you go to some place around the globe, and there are places like this even right now, where it is so dark spiritually, and you simply be a Christian, live that life and speak those things, you stand out like a sore thumb. You know why? It's out of season. Just like a tree that really should not be producing fruit in a time where it's out of season, but there's fruit all over it, that thing will stand out. It's almost unnatural. Look at Matthew chapter 5, and we'll close this morning. And I want to make a point as we close. There have always been times in the history of mankind where the Lord God and His truth has been out of season. But here's the challenge for us as Christians this morning. We don't want to be out of season when it's out of season. Let me say that again. We don't want to be out of season when it's out of season. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at Matthew chapter 5, and let me show this to you, and I trust we'll be challenged today. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, you can see there in chapter 5, verse number 1, he's got multitudes around, but then he goes into a mountain, he sets himself, and he begins to speak to his disciples. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, notice this. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What am I saying? This salt has a savor about it, and the savoriness allows it to be able to secure the meat. This was the way that they would preserve meat in time past. And so they rub the salt all over that meat. And the Bible says if the salt has lost its savor, what is it good for? If salt doesn't taste like salt, what is it good for? That's what I'm trying to say this morning. And why would we pour it on our food to be able to season our food? And what am I saying? I'm saying that when it's out of season as believers, we don't want to be out of season in our saltiness for the Lord. You understand that? We want to have that savor, that saltiness that Jesus has called us to have, that bright and shining light that He's called us to be, so that when it is out of season, the Lord can still use us. And people will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Now again, I'll say this and we'll be done. We live in a time where it is increasingly becoming out of season to be a believer in Jesus Christ. When it's out of season, will you be out of season? Or will you, because you've been born again by the Spirit of God, and because of in-season times, this is one of those right here this morning, we have freedom. We can even broadcast our service this morning. We've got so much freedom, we don't even understand how good we have it. Amen. This is an in-season time. This is the time to grow and begin to be fruitful so that when the out-of-season time comes, and it's coming, we'll continue to be fruitful in the Lord. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I wonder this morning if you've experienced the new birth. I wonder this morning if maybe you've been putting it off like the man Felix did, saying just one more day, just one more week, one more church service, I'm just not quite ready. Friend, may I say to you that it is always in season to receive Jesus Christ till it's out of season. And that opportunity can pass so much faster than you and I could ever plan for. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning? Have you been born again? Do you have that hope that Pastor Bush spoke of last Sunday? That hope, that expectancy of being with the Lord as soon as you go out of this life? If you're here this morning and maybe you're not sure about that, maybe you're just concerned about that today, we'd like to pray for you. Nobody else looking around, would you just lift your hand? Let me pray for you about that most important matter. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know it for sure, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? Could I pray for you this morning? Could I pray for you? I'm praying for you. All right. See that hand? Who else? Is there another one that'll join this one? I'm not sure about that, Pastor Taylor, but I'm concerned about it. Would you please pray for me? Pray for me. I'd like to pray for you. Friend, you can get that settled today. We have people that can take the Word of God and show you very clearly what God says about that. And you can know for sure that you have eternal life before you leave this building. I'd encourage you, even during the invitation time, to come and come forward. We'll quietly and privately let somebody take the Word of God and show you what you need to know about that. Let me ask you this, Christian. Have you considered that there's a out of season that's coming in your life? It may not be the entire world or an entire society, but just much harder to be fruitful in your own life. You would say, God helping me, I'm going to grow while it's in season so that I can live and bear fruit when it's out of season. God has spoken to my heart this morning. Hands up all over. God has spoken to my heart this morning. Let's pray together. We'll have a time of invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts, and I pray that you'll help us take this lesson, Lord, apply it to our lives. Help us to realize that time really is short, and the time for in season is also short. And I pray that we would grow while it's, Lord, while it's in season, while it's easy, while it's optimal, so that when the out of season time comes, we're just faithful to you. I pray, Lord, for this one, maybe others, but I saw one for sure, not sure about their eternity. I pray, Father, they'd be willing to come and find out, know it for sure. Help them be willing to turn from their way to your way. Receive that gift that you purchased on their behalf. Help them to do it even today. Bless our invitation time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed? We just want to invite you to come this morning. I don't know what your need is specifically, but if it's for salvation, would you come this morning? We'll have somebody take a Bible, show you what you need to know about that. Maybe it's another decision. Maybe you've been saved, but you've not been scripturally baptized since. We invite you to come. Be obedient to the Lord in that regard. Maybe you need to join the church this morning. We invite you to do that. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. We invite you to do that this morning. Would you come?